ॐ अज्ञानतिमनन्दस्य जनार्दनवसुलभया सप्सुस्मृतञ्जेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थपितं येन बुद्धले सायं कदामायं दधति सा कन्दन्तिकम् वंशकौपितुरुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैः च प्रतिदिनं पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. King Pranjana has died in one sense. In another sense, because King Pranjana represents the living entity, the eternal soul, the soul never dies. The soul is eternal. The symptom of the soul is consciousness. So what happens? Text 28 describes. King Pranjana gave up his body while remembering his wife, and consequently, in his next life, he became a very beautiful and well-situated woman. He took his next birth as the daughter of King Vidarbha in the very house of the king. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Since King Pranjana thought of his wife at the time of death, there we go. He attained the body of a woman in his next birth. This verifies the following verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam chajan yante kalevaram tam tam nevaiti kanteya sarita bhava bhavata. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. When a living entity is accustomed to think of a particular subject matter or become absorbed in a certain type of thought, he will think of that subject at the time of death. At the time of death, one will think of that's the subject that has occupied his life while he was awake, lightly sleeping or dreaming, or while he was deeply sleeping. After falling from the association of the Supreme Lord, the living entity thus transmigrates from one bodily form to another according to nature's course, until he finally attains the human form. If he is absorbed in material thoughts and ignorance of spiritual life, and if he does not take shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda, who solves all questions of birth and death, he will become a woman in the next life, especially if he thinks of his wife. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Karmana Deva Netrena. A living entity acts piously and impiously, and sometimes in both ways. All actions are taken into account, and the living entity is offered a new body by his superiors. Although King Pranjana was overly attached to his wife, he nonetheless performed many pious fruitive activities. Consequently, although he took the form of a woman, he was given a chance to be the daughter of a powerful king. So Pranjana, the living entity, has moved on to another body. This time, he was no longer a king, but because that king had the dual karma when he was Pranjana, he was very attached to his wife, and simultaneously he was always performing sacrifices, pious activities. So he took a pious birth in the form of a beautiful young princess. Oh, not a beautiful young princess, but in a princess, as a princess. It was fixed that Vidarbha, the daughter of King Vidarbha, that was Pranjana. The soul that was Pranjana took that birth. He was to be married, or she was to be married, to a very powerful man, Malayadwaj, an inhabitant of the Pandu country. After conquering other princes, he married the daughter of King Vidarbha. From Prabhupada's purport. Since King Malayadwaj was both a powerful king and a great devotee, he fulfilled all the requirements. The name Malayadwaj signifies a great devotee who stands as firm as Malaya Hill, and through his propaganda makes other devotees similarly as firm. Such a Mahabhagavat can prevail over all the over the opinions of all others. A strong devotee makes propaganda against all other spiritual conceptions, namely Jnana, Karma, and Yoga. With his devotional flag unfurled, he always stands fast to conquer other conceptions of transcendental realization. Whenever there is an argument between a devotee and a non-devotee, the pure, strong devotee comes out victorious. So Malayadwaj, the great devotee and the king, married Vidarbha, who is the daughter, the pious daughter of the king of Vidarbha, and who was, in his previous life, that soul that had inhabited the body of Paranjana, was now within this body, Vidarbha's, princess's body. King Malayadwaj fathered one daughter, who had very black eyes. He also had seven sons who later became rulers of that tract of land known as Dravida. Thus, there were seven kings in that land. Srila Prabhupada's purport. King Malayadwaj was a great devotee, and after he married the daughter of King Vidarbha, he gave her one nice daughter whose eyes were black. Figuratively, this means that the daughter of King Malayadwaj was also bestowed with devotional service, for her eyes were always fixed upon Krishna. A devotee has no vision in his life other than Krishna. What does that mean? He has no vision in his life other than Krishna. What does that mean? Well, but yes, he's thinking of Krishna, but the word vision is used. Huh?
The way that he perceives things, the way he sees things, is also in relation to Krishna.
Yeah, there's one nice verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Stavaram jagamam deki na deki taramurti. That when a pure devotee sees either something that's moving or non-moving, he doesn't exactly simply see the external form of that thing. Savatra hoya nija ishta deva spurti. He sees everything. He sees Krishna in everything that he sees. This is the vision of a pure devotee. He sees in this way. This is his vision, because the vision, how we see, is a product of our mind, what our conceptions are of life. If a person only thinks about money, everywhere he looks he will see money. If a person loves Krishna, everywhere he looks he will see Krishna. And also, as Sitaram Prabhu said, his goal was nothing but Krishna. The goal of his existence was Krishna, and he saw everything in relationship to Krishna for that reason, and that is pure. A devotee has no vision in his life other than Krishna. The seven sons are the seven processes of devotional service: hearing, chanting, remembering, offering worship, offering prayers, rendering transcendental loving service, and serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Of the nine types of devotional service, only seven were immediately given. The balance, friendship, and surrendering everything were to be developed later. In other words, devotional service is divided into two categories, namely Vidhimarg and Ragamarg. The process of becoming friends with the Lord and sacrificing everything for Him belongs to the category of Ragmarg, the stage of developed devotional service. For the neophyte, the important processes are those of hearing and chanting, Shabadam Kirtanam, remembering Krishna, worshipping the deity in the temple, offering prayers, and always engaging in the service of the Lord and worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. The word Yaviyash indicates that these processes are very powerful. After a devotee engages in the processes of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, and is able to secure these processes, he can later become a devotee capable of rendering spontaneous devotional service, namely Sakyam and Atmanivedanam. Generally, the great acharyas who preach devotional service all over the world belong to the category of Sakyam Atmanivedanam. A neophyte devotee cannot actually become a preacher. What does that mean? Because preaching, what does preaching actually mean? It means when a devotee opens up his heart and shares the whatever bhakti he has within his heart with the other person. It is a matter of association. Satam prasangam mamavirya sambhido. That means that when Krishna is discussed in the association of devotees, that discussion virya is quite powerful. So one can only change the heart of another in the sense that he can share whatever he has in his heart. So when one is a neophyte devotee, his preaching capacity is limited naturally to his own advancement. So he cannot affect the world deeply as Prabhupada so deeply affected the world. The neophyte, Prabhupada continues, is advised to execute devotional service in the seven other fields, Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc. If one can successfully execute the preliminary seven items, he can in the future be situated on the platform of Sakyam Atmanivedanam. The specific mention of Dravida Desh refers to the five Dravida Deshas in South India. All are very strong in rendering the preliminary devotional processes, Shravanam Kirtanam. Some great acharyas like Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya also came from Dravida Desh and became great preachers. They were all situated on the platform of Sakyam Atmanivedanam. Any questions about that? One other point is that Prabhupada said that here, that neophyte devotees can't cannot actually become a preacher. But yet he encouraged everyone from the very beginning of their devotional service to preach. So how do we reconcile those two things, those two points?
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah? Yeah? What does that mean? Excuse me?
Faith is the instrument for one.
So that's, yeah, that's good. That a devotee who's preaching doesn't think, I am preaching. What he thinks is, I'm just serving Srila Prabhupada and assisting him. Another point is, this is one reason why he stressed book distribution so much, because what can I tell someone and influence them? How can I influence them? But the book is Prabhupada's preaching. So putting them directly in touch with such a powerful preacher allows them to experience that potency. And also, Prabhupada explained one of the main keys in preaching, and that was to speak from one's own realization. So if we can just, even if our realization is very meager, that I like chanting Hare Krishna, makes me feel happy when I chant, or I like people who chant Hare Krishna, or something, takes away my anxiety. Whatever our realization actually is, if we explain that simply and sincerely to others, then that will have potency. Because of the simple sincerity of speaking from one's realization. Any other questions or points on this? Yeah.
It says, if one can successfully execute the preliminary seven items, he can in the future be situated on the platform of Sakya Nivedana. How do you know if you've successfully executed them?
You mean when you're ready to move on? And what do you mean? How do you know?
Well, you know, in school or something, you have a year of doing something, and then you have an exam, and you go to the next year. There's a structure or form which you can.
One thing is, you don't. It's not that one moves on from Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu to something else. No, one becomes more intensely absorbed in one's desires and become absorbed in that. The idea is that when one is fully engaged in devotional service in one or all of those preliminary seven, then when one is fully engaged, continuously engaged, and when one's bhakti preshana bhava bhaktiya, when one is giving up material engagement, it doesn't have a taste for that, then one can be said to be fully, successfully engaged. And it's not that one moves on, not only in the sense that one doesn't leave behind something, but naturally one gives it himself and develops that friendly relationship that Prabhupada is speaking of, that deeper relationship, is quite natural. So the moving on in the third grade and the fourth grade has to be signified, because it's not natural in the same way. It's somewhat artificial. The grade system, I'm sure, is very artificial. In traditional times, I'm sure they didn't have a grade. It wasn't structured in that way. And one mastered a course, and it wasn't gradated in such a way. So it's natural. One completes one part of the subject, one moves on to the next part of the subject. So it's a more natural progression, that when one's hearing about Krishna becomes intensified, then naturally one feels friendship for Krishna, attachment in that sense, spontaneously. I think that's the idea. And the symptom on one side is detachment, bhakti. When one is detached from matter, then one can be said to be pure. Any other questions or comments on this?
So you can't become free, and you're serving, and then
you have to be servant first. You can't be, nor can you be anything without, just like you're a parent. You have a loving relationship with a parent, with your children. But the basis of that is that you're their servant. You have to facilitate them. You have to provide a house. You have to provide this. You have to provide food for them. You have to take care of their education. There is no higher relationship without service. So the serving mood is the basis of Krishna consciousness. That is what we have to develop. And we don't move on from service to friendship. Service is the basis of friendship. Any other questions or comments?
In material life, we think of friendship, we think of like, now you can relax and we're equals.
But still.
In service, we think of being sort of in a
But you're moving up from you're moving to a more intimacy but yet the basis of all the relationships is service. And the basis of the service is affection. And the basis of the affection is knowledge. In the sense of you know something about the person, not necessarily intellectual knowledge, but without knowing the person, how could there be affection? And from the affection actually comes to please, because when this, it's the nature of the living entity that he wants to please another. It's our nature to serve. We can't avoid that. That's called Sanatana Dharma. And we, in the material world, we're trying to avoid the service. So friendship, etc., all the way up to the point of the conjugal relationships in the material world. We, the tendency is to not think of them in the terms of service, but in the sense of mastership. And it's unsatisfying like that. Any other questions or comments? If not, we shall move on. So, Narada Muni is explaining to King Pachinibharishat, so therefore in text 31. My dear King Pachinibharishat, the sons of Malayadwaj, how many sons were there?
Seven.
How many daughters?
Nine.
What color were the daughter's eyes?
Black.
Why? She is fixed on Krishna. Yes. The sons of Malayadwaj gave birth to many thousands and thousands of sons. And all of these have been protecting the entire world up to the end of one Manu's lifespan and even afterward. Read some of the purport. Among Vaishnavas, there may be some differences of opinion due to everyone's personal identity. But despite all personal differences, the cult of Krishna consciousness must go on. We can see that under the instructions of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj began preaching the Krishna consciousness movement in an organized way within the past 100 years. The disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj are all God brothers. And although there are some differences of opinion, and although we are not acting conjointly, every one of us is spreading this Krishna consciousness movement according to his own capacity and producing many disciples to spread it all over the world. As far as we are concerned, we have already started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And many thousands of Europeans and Americans and Australians have joined this movement. Indeed, it is spreading like wildfire. The cult of Krishna consciousness, based on the 9 principles of devotional service, this is what Krishna consciousness is based on. The 9 principles of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam will never be stopped. It will go on without distinction of caste, creed, color, and country. No one can check it. The word bokshati is very important in this verse. Just as a king gives protection to his citizens, these devotees, following the principles of devotional service, will give protection to all the people of the world. Protecting them? How? Prabhupada will explain how the devotees protect. The people of the world are very much harassed by so-called religious principled swamis, yogis, karmis, and jnanis. But none of these can show the right way to become elevated to the spiritual platform. There are primarily 4 parties spreading devotional service all over the universe. These are the Ramanuja Sampradaya, the Madhva Sampradaya, the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, and the Nimbarka Sampradaya. The Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya in particular comes from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All these devotees are spreading this Krishna consciousness movement very widely and giving protection to innocent people who are being so much embarrassed by pseudo-avatars, swamis, yogis and others. Interesting purport. Continuing. So, Prabhupada was commenting there on how the seven sons, the seven processes of devotional service gave birth to so many, and they spread protecting the entire world. So the different sampradayas are all based on the same process of hearing and chanting. And what are all of those based on? Krishna. Service to Krishna. That is devotional service. Hearing about Krishna, remembering Krishna, chanting about Krishna. So although the branches may increase to thousands, and although in one sense we could say it's unfortunate, because why is it unfortunate that there are so many branches? What would be a reason why it would be unfortunate? I know one reason that Prabhupada said, yeah.
Some people get disillusioned and
disillusioned by the process of branchiating.
Because there are some differences of opinion, so when there are differences of opinion, there tends to be fighting.
Mm. And that causes the kind of disillusionment.
And although we are not acting co-jointly, every one of us is spreading this Krishna consciousness movement according to his own capacity, so the indication is that if they could act co-jointly, they could do something for the world.
Yes. That was the point that Prabhupada made. At one point he said the evil forces of this world, they are very, very, very powerful. And if there is many, 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 many branches, small, thin branches, what type of a fight can they put up against the powerful evil forces of this world? Very small. Because what happens when you have many little branches? They can be broken. But if all those little branches are together, tied together, they're strong and powerful. But yet, when something is happening in its own way, it's not that we can stop it, or not that we should get disillusioned or disappointed by the differences and the natural disagreements that come from the differences. Rather, we should, as Prabhupada said, according to different capacities, everyone tries to spread the same thing. It's not the best situation possibly, but it is what it is. It's reality. And it has its it could be far worse too. So regardless of the fact that it is not ideal, yet so many people are getting protection and shelter from whatever preaching is going on. So that's wonderful. Continuing. The great sage named Agastya married the firstborn daughter of Malayadwaj. What color were her eyes? Why? Fixed upon Krishna, exactly. The avowed devotee of Lord Krishna. From her one son was born, whose name was Jitrachuta. And from him another son was born, whose name was Idmavahi. We'll read some of the parts of this purport. The name Agastya Muni is very significant. Agastya Muni represents the mind. The word Agastya indicates that the senses do not act independently, and the word Muni means mind. The mind is the center of all the senses, and thus the senses cannot work independent of the mind. When the mind takes to the cult of bhakti, this is an important point. The mind has to take to the cult of Krishna consciousness, not just the body. the mind has to become trained to be continuously absorbed in loving devotion to Krishna. So when the mind takes to bhakti, it engages in devotional service. The cult of bhakti, Bhakti Lata, is the first daughter of Malayadvaj, as previously described. Her eyes are always upon Krishna. And continuing a little later. Therefore, Bhakti Lata is Dridhavrata, the great vow. For when the mind is completely engaged in devotional service, the mind does not fall down. If one tries to advance by other means, by karma yoga or jnana yoga, one will fall down. But if one is fixed in bhakti, he never falls down. So this is the great art of Krishna consciousness. Manmana bhava madbhakto. Engage your mind upon me, Krishna says, and become my devotee. So this is the art, this is the science of Krishna consciousness, and this is the great challenge of Krishna consciousness. To fix our mind upon Krishna and not let it become deviated to so many other things. And this is very difficult in Kali Yuga. Why? Because in Kali Yuga our minds are the naughtiest, whimsical. They are trained to be insubordinate. They are trained, habituated to attachment to the senses. So what is the cure for this? Yeah, and devotional service. The cure is, Krishna explains, abhyasan vairagya, means practice. It takes determined practice and detachment. If one wants to keep his material attachments, and wants his mind to focus on them and is not willing to tell his mind no, then it won't work. And at the same time, continuously trying and practicing and not giving up hope, continuously trying. So if one can fix his mind in bhakti, bhakti means upon Krishna, then he will never fall down even when he leaves his body. He will fall up to Krishna. After this, text 33, the great saintly king Malayadvaj divided his entire kingdom amongst his sons. Then, in order to worship Lord Krishna with full attention, he went to a solitary place known as Kulachal. Malayadvaj, Prabhupada's purpose. The great king was certainly a Mahabhagavat, a topmost devotee. By executing devotional service, he begat many sons and disciples for propagating the bhakti cult, Shravana Kirtan Vishnu. Actually, the entire world should be divided among such disciples. Everyone should be engaged in preaching the cult of Krishna consciousness. In other words, when disciples are grown up and are able to preach, the spiritual master should retire and sit down in a solitary place to write and execute Nirjan Bhajan. What does Nirjan Bhajan mean? Nirjan, with no one else around. Solitary. Bhajan. Focused service. This means, Prabhupada explains, sitting silently in a solitary place and executing devotional service. This Nirjan Bhajan, which is the silent worship of the Supreme Lord, very internal, because there's a tendency before one is mature, is our devotional service is not internal, but it's quite external. We're doing everything externally, and the mind is not at all engaged in devotional service. But then when one is mature, what does mature mean? It means he's developed his attachment for Krishna. That's what's going on inside. That's what maturity is. He has some attachment, some attraction. When we talk about ragamag, ragamag means the path of attachment, where one is naturally, spontaneously, actually attached to Krishna. So So when one has attachment, then one is externally silent after he's done that service. And then he can retire and sit down in a solitary place to write powerful, powerful books and execute Nirjan Bhajan. This means sitting silently in a solitary place and executing devotional service. This Nirjan Bhajan, which is the silent worship of the Supreme Lord, it's very internal, meditative, is not possible for a neophyte devotee. Because what will happen if we go to a silent place or a lonely place and try to silently worship Krishna? What's the first thing that will happen? Will be we'll fall asleep, and then we'll wonder where the refrigerator is or whatever. So it's not for neophytes, beginners. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur never advised a neophyte devotee to go to a solitary place to engage in devotional service. Indeed, he has written a song in this connection. Dushta mana tumi kishera Vaishnava. My dear mind, what kind of a Vaishnava are you? Pratishtara tare Nirjaneira Gare, you've gone to a Nirjan place, a lonely place, for what purpose? Pratishta, to gain some prestige, so people will look and say, oh, he's so advanced. He's sitting all day and chanting. Tavaharinam Kevala Kaitav. Your chanting of Hare Nam, your chanting of Hare Krishna is Kevala Kaitav, which means Kevala means only
pure
cheating. My dear mind, what kind of devotee are you? Simply for cheap adoration, you sit in a solitary place. Hey, no one's around. No one's around. No one's looking at me, wondering and thinking, what a great devotee I am. It's getting boring then. So you sit in a solitary place and pretend to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, but this is all cheating. Thus Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur advocated that every devotee, under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, preach the bhakti called Krishna consciousness all over the world. So when we ask that question, how can neophyte devotees preach, Prabhupada is here is explaining how under guidance. To do it in a not spontaneously decide how we're going to preach, but under guidance. Only when one is mature can he sit in a solitary place and retire from preaching all over the world. Following this example, the devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness now render service as preachers in various parts of the world. Now they can allow the spiritual master to retire from active preaching work. Who is the spiritual master that Prabhupada was talking about?
Himself.
But not only were the devotees incapable of allowing their spiritual master to retire, their spiritual master also was so inspired to preach that more or less he didn't want to retire either. He would say, I want to write books, but he would be so inspired to preach that he didn't. Huh? He did Nirjan Bhajan?
No, you said
write books. Oh yeah, write books. Yes. But he didn't do Nirjan Bhajan. But he did write books. In the last stage of the spiritual master's life, the devotees of the spiritual master should take preaching activities into their own hands. But the devotees weren't capable of doing that at that time. They were very young, very immature, and yet we thought we knew everything. not exactly we thought we knew everything. We thought I know everything, and I'm not sure about everyone else. So that caused it, caused some continuous conflict. So we were too young and immature. But this is really what Prabhupada would have liked, for us to have been mature. But it's hard for youth to be mature. Possibly, you can't say impossible, but it's very, very rare. When Prabhupada left, the devotees were the oldest ones were in, the oldest ones were early, maybe the very, very oldest, the few very older ones were in mid-30s. And the oldest ones were 30. And most of them, 25. I bet. 20. When Prabhupada left, some of those who were asked to take responsibility as spiritual master had only been chanting for 6 or 7 years. Weren't even 30, some of them. Just weighty responsibility. So Prabhupada, possibly by his own makeup and by the force of the reality of the circumstances, really could not perform the Yajan Bhajan by himself because of the necessity to continue the Krishna consciousness movement. But yet, this is appropriate. In the last stage of the spiritual master's life, the devotees of the spiritual master should take preaching activities into their own hands. In this way, the spiritual master can sit down in a solitary place and render nirjan bhajan. So, Malaya Dwaj. Who was Malaya Dwaj married to? No, not Agastya Muni. No, Vidarbhi, who was Paranjana in his last life. So he went into the forest and he gave everything over, the kingdom over to his children, the king, the various branches of his family. Just as the moonshine follows the moon at night, immediately after King Malaya Dwaj departed for Kulachala, his devoted wife, whose eyes were very enchanting, followed him, giving up all homely happiness despite family and children. So, Madhavi left along with Malaya Dwaj. Purport. These purports are so wonderful. And they're very, very, some very, very important ones coming up. Purport. Just as in the vanaprastha stage, the wife follows the husband. Similarly, when the spiritual master retires for nirjan bhajan, some of his advanced devotees follow him and engage in his personal service. In other words, those who are very fond of family life should also come forward in the service of the spiritual master and abandon so-called happiness afforded by society, friendship, and love. A verse by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and his Guru Vastak is significant in this regard. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. A disciple should always remember that by serving the spiritual master, he can easily advance in Krishna consciousness. All the scriptures recommend that it is by pleasing the spiritual master and serving him directly that one can attain the highest perfectional stage of devotional service. The word madhyarekshana is very significant in this verse. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained in his Sandarbha that the word madhira means intoxicating. If one's eyes become intoxicated upon seeing the deity, he may be called madhyarekshana. Queen Vidarbhi's eyes were very enchanting. Just as one's eyes are madhyarekshana when engaged in seeing the temple deity. Unless one is an advanced devotee, he cannot fix his eyes on the deity in the temple. Text 36. in the province of Kulachala, there were rivers named Chandravas, Tamrapani, Vatodaka, and Vatodaka. King Malayadwaj used to go to these pious rivers regularly and take his bath there. Thus he purified himself externally and internally. He took his bath and ate bulbs, seeds, leaves, flowers, roots, fruits, and grasses, and drank water. In this way he underwent severe austerities. Eventually he became very skinny. Purport. We can definitely see that to advance in Krishna consciousness, one must control his bodily weight. If one becomes too fat, it is to be assumed that he is not advancing spiritually. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura severely criticized his fat disciples. The idea is that one who intends to advance in Krishna consciousness must not eat very much. Devotees used to go to the forest, high hills, or mountains on pilgrimage, but such severe austerities are not possible in these days. One should instead eat only prasad and no more than required. According to the Vaishnava calendar, there are many fasts, such as Ekadasi and the appearance and disappearance days of God and his devotees. All of these are meant to decrease the fat within the body, so that one will not sleep more than desired and will not become inactive and lazy. Overindulgence in food will cause a man to sleep more than required. This human form of life is meant for austerity, and austerity means controlling sex, food intake, etc. In this way, time can be saved for spiritual activity, and one can purify himself both externally and internally. Thus, both body and mind can be cleansed. Text 37. Through austerity, King Malayadwaj in body and mind gradually became equal to the dualities of cold and heat, happiness and distress, wind and rain, hunger and thirst, the pleasant and the unpleasant. In this way, he conquered all relativities. Because he was able to fix his consciousness in the absolute truth, he became equal to all the dualities through the practice of austerities. Prabhupada explains. Malayadwaj underwent severe austerities by leaving his home, going to Kulachal, taking his bath in the sacred rivers, and eating only vegetables like stems, roots, seeds, flowers, and leaves, avoiding any cooked food or grains. These are very, very austere practices. In this age, it is very difficult to leave home and go to the forest or the Himalayas to adopt the processes of austerity. Indeed, it is almost impossible. If one is even advised to give up meat eating, drinking, gambling, and illicit sex, one will fail to do so. What then would a person do if he went to the Himalayas or Kulachal? Such acts of renunciation are not possible in this age. Therefore, Lord Krishna has advised us to accept the Bhakti Yoga process. Bhakti Yoga will automatically liberate a person from the dualities of life. In Bhakti Yoga, Krishna is the center, and Krishna is always transcendental. Thus, in order to transcend dualities, one must always engage in the service of the Lord, as confirmed by Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mam chayo vivacharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. So that means one's mind must be fixed and purified. The mind must be fully engaged in Krishna's service. If one is factually engaged in the service of the Lord, Bhakti Yoga, he will automatically control his senses, his tongue, and so many other things. Once engaged in the Bhakti Yoga process with all sincerity, one will have no chance of falling down. Even if one falls down, there is no loss. One's devotional activities may be stunned or choked for the time being, but as soon as there is another chance, the practitioner begins from the point where he left off. 38. By worshipping, executing austerities, and following the regulative principles, King Malayadwaj conquered his senses, his life, and his consciousness. Thus he fixed everything on the central point of the Supreme Brahman, Krishna. In this way, he stayed immovable. In one place for 100 years by the calculation of the demigods. After this time, he developed pure devotional attraction for Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead remained fixed in that position. We'll read from Prabhupada's purport. To come to the conclusion of Krishna consciousness and remain fixed in the realization that Krishna is everything, as well as render service unto Krishna, are characteristics of the perfectional stage. As said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna bhakti kaila sarva karma kritta hoy. That's what faith is. Shraddha sabde vishwas kahe. Sudrita nishchay. Krishna bhakti kaila sarva karma kritta hoy. When one comes to the conclusion that Krishna is everything, by worshipping or by rendering devotional service unto Krishna, one actually becomes perfect in all respects. Not only must one come to the conclusion that Krishna is everything, but he must remain fixed in this realization. This is the highest perfection of life, and it is this perfection that King Malayadwaj attained at the end. King Malayadwaj, text 40, attained perfect knowledge by being able to distinguish the super soul from the individual soul. The individual soul is localized, whereas the super soul is all pervasive. He became perfect in knowledge that the material body is not the soul, but the soul is the witness of the material body. So he had knowledge. There's two kinds of knowledge, as explained in Bhagavad Gita. One, he understood that the soul, he himself, was not the body. And also he saw the distinction between the two souls, super soul and he himself, the individual soul. In this way, text 41, King Malayadwaj attained perfect knowledge because in his pure state he was directly instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By means of such enlightening transcendental knowledge, he could understand everything from all angles of vision. This is what his realizations were. Quite interesting. He was directly instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this was one of the first questions that Vidura asked Maitreya about. How could one gain such purity that Krishna will directly instruct him? I'll read this purport. And then we'll stop. In this verse, the words Shakshad Bhagava Uptena Guruna Harina are very significant. The Supreme Personality of Godhead speaks directly to the individual soul when the devotee has completely purified himself. How? By rendering devotional service to the Lord. Lord Krishna confirms this also in Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tesham Satata Yuktanam Vajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. The Lord is the super soul seated in everyone's heart, and he acts as the Chaitya Guru, the spiritual master within. However, he gives direct instructions only to the advanced pure devotees. In the beginning, when a devotee is serious and sincere, the Lord gives him directions from within to approach his spiritual master. When one is trained by the spiritual master according to the regulative principles of devotional service and is situated on the platform of spontaneous attachment for the Lord, Rag Bhakti, the Lord also gives instructions from within. Tesham satata yuktanam vajatam pratipurvakam. Then his devotion is spontaneous because of his purity, because of his attachment to Krishna. Krishna is always impelling him from within exactly what to do. And because the impelling is from Krishna, then he can act spontaneously and only go further, closer to Krishna. This distinct advantage is obtained by a liberated soul. Having attained this stage, King Malayadwaj was directly in touch with the Supreme Lord and was receiving instructions from him directly. So we'll continue. Yes. Continue hearing of his realizations tomorrow. Any questions or comments? Yep.
When you said there are different branches, similar branches.
Yes.
Are they different sampradayas?
Well, Prabhupada gave two examples. One in his purport he gave of different sampradayas, the four bona fide Vaishnava sampradayas. But he also gave another example of himself, or rather his spiritual master, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur, and that he had started a mission that was preaching unitedly all over the world, but due to the force of time and all that entails, his God brothers were preaching independently from each other, but yet they were all preaching. So those are, if you say sampradaya, because sampradaya usually in a technical sense, it refers specifically to these four bona fide Vaishnava communities. Sampradaya means community. So that's what it refers to. And all of the disciples of Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur are in one of those sampradayas, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya.
I just wonder if there was any other groups like that had Bhagavatam class and Bhajans and like we did, or were you like the only ones?
No, there's probably because, as Prabhupada explained, even from his spiritual master, there are so many groups. So there's probably in the world, there's probably 20 different branches of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, all coming from Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakura and having something to do with Prabhupada.
So they have their spiritual
masters. Yeah. Yeah.
You go around Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Mark in Mayapur, you see so many temples, and they're all temples of different God brothers of Śrīla Prabhupāda.
And they all have their institutions.
Yes,
and samsara prayers, and they all have Bhagavatam class, but they all don't have it in English.
I saw a film about Tukaram,
yeah. The Maharashtrian preacher. Yeah. Well, are you going to tell us more about it, or are you just going to leave it with us a great film?
I saw Sampradaya chart, and then I saw, this is after, a few weeks after, and then I saw his name on it, on one of the Sampradayas going back to the 17th century. So then I figured, oh, there must be other things coming.
Yes. Okay, we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam, Vijay. So, next Wednesday, if Krishna allows, we'll continue. And there's some very, very important verses and purports that we'll be reading then. Very.